Thank you so much, Willie, for that wonderful time of worship this morning. Before we get into the message, thank God for and appreciate the ministry of Pastor Spencer Smith, who shared God's word with the congregation last week as I was out on holidays. I love hearing his ministry. It was a powerful, life-changing message. I hope and trust that you were edified, built up, and blessed by the power of God through his life, testimony, and also his ministry. A story is told of a man called Christopher Buckley, who considered himself to be an agnostic, one who holds the view that both the existence or the non-existence of God and of heaven or hell are unknowable. And he was brought up short by his five-year-old daughter, Kathleen, who suddenly, out of nowhere, began to ask some very deep existential questions. "Dad, does everyone die?" she asked. Buckley was dumbfounded and wanted to ignore the question. So he said to her, "How about a Flintstones pop-up ice cream bar?" The little girl was undistracted. She asked a follow-up question. "But Dad, am I going to die one day?" Finally, Dad gave in and said, "Well, I guess everyone dies. It's part of life." But Dad again quickly attempted to distract the girl by asking a question instead. He said, "What's your favorite part in the video, The Rescuers Down Under?" But Kathleen was serious, so she continued and distracted. "But what happens after you die, Dad?" The story goes on to say, Buckley, torn between his agnostic beliefs and his little girl's unrelenting questioning, answered, "You go straight to heaven." And the girl asked, "Dad, and what is heaven?" Dad stumbled on words and choked because he did not believe in the existence or non-existence of heaven and that it was unknowable. That's what kids do, isn't it? They ask lots and lots of questions. Sometimes it's annoying, but it's okay. They're curious. They want to know. Now, I share that story to highlight the fact that no questions are more fundamental to humanity than what the little girl was asking her dad about. Since we all die one day, we come face to face with these questions. Am I going to die one day, really? Is there going to be an exception for me? And what happens when and after I die? Is that the end, or is there a life after death? One writer says, some people say that nothing happens when we die. We live, we die, and then it's over. There is no life after death. Others believe we are continually recycled in a long series of reincarnations and are eventually absorbed into the universe. While other people, like the members of the Heaven's Gate, cult believed that after their mass suicide, they would become extraterrestrial beings. In some indigenous and traditional religions, life does not end with death, but lives on in the community, helping and communicating with their families as ancestral spirits. This is also known as communicating with the dead. Christians, in contrast, believe in the afterlife. They also believe that once a person dies, they will see God face to face. For to be absent in body is to be present with the Lord, according to the scriptures. In the Catholic faith tradition, clergy, family, and friends can also pray for the soul of the deceased person and ask God to receive their soul into His eternal glory if they find themselves stuck in purgatory, where they will be purified by fire before being admitted into heaven. The question is, who is right? And how can we be sure? Because there are so many world views out there, religious views, about what happens after you die. So let's see what the Bible says about these questions concerning death and life. If you came with your Bible this morning, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're going to read verses 35 and skip a few verses and then end up with 58. If you find it, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 58. The New International Version. The Christians of Corinth wrote Paul a letter because they were questioning the validity of the resurrection and life after death. They didn't think that those who trust and follow Jesus will be raised from the dead to new and transformed bodies. And so they sent a letter to Paul. Verse 35, Paul says, "But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come?" Paul says, "How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat, or of something else. But God gives it a body as He has determined, and to each kind of seed He gives its own body. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body." Verse 50. "So I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. 53. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And that sense is the word of God. Let's pray together. God, our eternal Father, we come before you one more time, this time to look intently into your word. We do ask that you may prepare our hearts to receive the seed of the word of God. May that seed germinate and bear much fruit in our lives, fruit that is going to last to the glory of your great name. Our prayer is that the Holy Spirit will be so evident in this place, so vivid, that we will encounter his life-changing power to transform and build our lives as we endeavor to follow Jesus. Empower us, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, to live for nobody but you. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our message this morning emanates from the resurrection story which we dealt with last Sunday, as well as its implications, the so what kind of approach after listening to the message about the resurrection of Jesus. How does that impact me or change my life? So I've decided to call this sermon Death and Paradise. Death and Paradise. For a whole chapter, Paul has been deconstructing the false teaching of Greek philosophers and certain religious groups who declared that there was no such thing as resurrection from the dead. But in our text, he answers the Corinthian believers who were seeking clarity about the same, which brings us to our first point. What happens immediately after death? Is there life after death? Christian beliefs about life after death are based on the resurrection of Jesus. We believe that through his death on the cross, Jesus pays the penalty for our sin and reconciles us with God. This is called the doctrine of atonement. Christ becoming sin who knew no sin, that we may become the righteousness of God. Christ being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We Christians believe that 3 days after the crucifixion, God raised Jesus from the dead, and he once again appeared to his disciples. This is taken to mean that Jesus' sacrifice was a victory over sin and death. Although physical death still happens, those who believe in Christ and live righteous lives will be given eternal life in heaven. When Jesus hung on the cross where he was crucified, there were two criminals being crucified on either side of him. So in Luke chapter 23, verses 42 to 43, Luke describes a conversation between one of those criminals and Jesus. Then the criminal said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, the paradise that Jesus mentions here is where people who have a relationship with God go immediately after they die. When people say heaven, this is often what they mean. Followers of Jesus believe that there is an afterlife and that when people die, their souls will live on. They will spend eternity either with God in heaven or separated from God forever in hell. The question is, where will you spend eternity after you die? The choice you make about Jesus today determines where you will spend eternity after you die. But it also determines how you live your life on this side of eternity. John chapter 11, verse 25 to 28 says, Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come in the world. Let me ask you the same question. Do you believe that since you are a disciple of Jesus, even though you die, yet you shall live again? Do you believe that? That is what Jesus is trying to drive home here. Scripture says, for to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When you close your eyes on this side of eternity, you will open your eyes in the other side of eternity. And that will be in the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't want to think that heaven is a place we understand. But I don't care where heaven is going to be, whether it's up there in the sky or under, right under the earth. I don't care. As long as Jesus is there and me, that will be heaven. So I'm not arguing about where heaven is going to be. Now, as you ponder the question I just asked you about death and what will happen after you die, you need to determine that if you want to be with Jesus, there is a way in which you need to live your life here on earth that will help you attain your goal of being with Jesus. And it is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. And then walk in light, not in darkness. Live for him and not for the flesh. Deny yourself and carry your own cross and follow Jesus. Which brings us to our second point. Since there is a resurrection from the dead, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body will they come? Paul begins his answer to this question with the words, how foolish. That's in verse 36. It is important to understand the reason for this rebuke. He rebukes the Corinthians because behind their questions was skepticism. He rebukes the church at Corinth because of their bias against the resurrection. Paul does not answer all of their questions, but he does give them an illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 36 to 37. It says, think of a seed. It has one body, one physical form. When it is sown in the ground, it dies. It comes forth from the ground with a new and different body. But it is still the same organism which was sown. In other words, God is responsible to give the seed the body. None of your business, in other words. Likewise, the resurrection body is a real body. It is the same body that died, but now it possesses glorious new qualities and powers. The present body is perishable. It's corruptible. It's dishonorable, weak, unnatural. The resurrection body will be incorruptible, glorious, powerful, and filled with the Spirit. It will be free from death, sickness, aging, injury, and exhaustion. It will experience no grief, no pain, and no sorrow. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 44 says, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, that means corruptible. It is raised incorruptible, imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. And it is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because He defeated death and made a public spectacle of the powers of darkness and of death and of Satan and his minions. He was glorified when He ascended to heaven, and He's coming back again. When the resurrection occurs, death will be defeated. And saints, you can take that to the bank. You see, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead will raise us up together with Jesus for His glory. He will present us before Him. But right now, death seems to be having a good time, because it defeats every endeavor. Even though we devote our lives to being healthy, eventually death will prevail. You can devote your life to earning money, pleasure, power, and influence, and become very powerful and influential like Solomon. But eventually, death will defeat you, because death is no respecter of persons. However, even though death is impossible for us to defeat, Jesus has defeated death on our behalf through His resurrection. And those who trust and follow Him will also defeat it. Death has no victory or sting over a Christian. It cannot hurt those who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Our text says, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. We have the victory over death through our Lord Jesus. In other words, believers in Christ will be raised from the dead and inherit eternal life. And death will be defeated once and for all, because there will no longer be death, no suffering, no pain anymore. Revelation 21 verse 4 confirms it. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Which brings us to our third and last point. What happens after resurrection? So what? The straight answer to this question is judgment follows. We all face the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This time, he will not come as a baby in the manger. This time, he will be judge over all. So we shall stand before him to be judged individually based on our desires, actions, and choices made about Jesus and his offer of salvation on this side of eternity. The Bible describes a time when all people will come back to life or be resurrected and will stand before God to be judged, others to eternal life and others to eternal condemnation. This is often referred to as the White Throne Judgment Day. This is when God will declare who will enter the new creation and spend eternity with God and who will spend eternity with Satan in a place of eternal suffering. So Revelation chapter 20 verse 11 to 15 describes the judgment day as in a good way. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, stand before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death came and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. Remember, people say, how can a loving God, a merciful God, throw people in hell? Hell, saints, was not created for you and me. Hell was created for the devil and his minions. But whoever was not found written in the book of life, together with death and the grave, were thrown in the lake of fire or so. Now, the question for you is your name written in the book of life? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Let that question simmer a little bit. And turn with me to Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46, which also describes the judgment day. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Then he will say in verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cast into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Then they will go away, verse 46, to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The righteous to eternal life. God's desire is that all may come to repentance and be saved. But it's our choices here and now that will shape where we spend eternity. We must believe in Jesus, repent of our sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We also need the commandments throughout the rest. To obey the commandments throughout the rest of our lives. It's not once saved, always saved. You need to live like you are a child of light, not darkness. However, we also need to repent and confess our sins when we fall short. In conclusion, our hope lies in Christ's victory over death. Paul argues that if Christ had not been raised from the dead, then our faith would be in vain, and we would remain in our sin. As Christians, our identification with Christ's resurrection is the absolute assurance that we, who have been saved by grace through faith in him, will likewise be raised from the dead into newness of life. And we shall be like him. We shall put on immortal bodies. And death will be defeated. Verse 57 of our text says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for making your Son a ransom for our sin. We thank you that because he rose from the dead and lives again, we shall also live. Even though we are subject to death today, for to live is Christ and to die is gain. And to be absent in body is to be present with the Lord. Our earthly, corrupted, mortal bodies will be raised heavenly and incorruptible bodies that will not fade away. Please help us to remain steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. We are not living for God now for nothing. Help us to look forward to that reward. For no mind has conceived, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit go before each one of us as we part company, because we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody said amen.